Driving season is in full swing, and an unexpected car repair can cost hundreds, even thousands to fix, ruining your road trip. That's why I recommend getting extended coverage from CarShield. A new water pump could set you back over $500. Replacing your AC can cost as much as $1,500. With CarShield, the dealership or your favorite mechanic can do the work. CarShield does the rest, getting them paid directly. Save yourself from high repair bills with CarShield. Call 800-CAR-6100, mention code Benson, or visit CarShield.com. Use code Benson to save 10%. CarShield.com, a deductible may apply.
Independent in thought and punk rock in life. It's the Chad Benson Show.
Our stock market has reached an all-time high today. Unemployment just hit a 16-year low.
That's Trump speaking today. Small business owners at the White House. Stock market's rocketing through the roof. Unemployment's low. Stick with your wins, Mr. President. Stick with your wins. It's a good thing. It's a very good thing. Stick with the wins. You want to do immigration? You want to get it sorted out? You do it. You talk jobs? You do it. Stick with the things that you really should stick with, that will change the narrative across the board. The mooch is gone. You got Kelly in there. I said today, I don't know who's going to be next. In fact, tweeted that out. It's a poll right now at Chad Benson Show. I don't know who's going to be next. Tom Price? Mm-hmm. Betsy DeVos? Mm-hmm. Rex Tillerson? Mm-hmm. Jeff Sessions? Mm-hmm. By the way, he's in the lead at Chad Benson Show. Text the show always 323-538-2423. But stick with what you wanted to do. You came in here as a person who was going to change the culture of D.C. It's not going to change overnight. And one thing I think we forget is there are three co-equal branches of government. One, two, three. They don't want to be run like a business. They want to be politics. Those other two. You may want to run something like a business. They want to be politics. So maybe you have to be a bit more subtle in doing some of the things that you want to do to get things done. The old adage, throw a frog into boiling water, it jumps out, leave it in cold water, slowly turn it up, it'll boil itself, right? It'll just sit there. It'll, you know, acclimate itself to the water. That's how the victory is going to come this way. Yes, you can do some big things along the way. Absolutely. But this right here, I like this. Stick with the wins. Talk about the things. Let me tell you what cures all ills. Winning. Winning. If you go out there and you bring jobs back, you really resuscitate a slowly, sluggishly growing economy, and you get it rocking and rolling. If you do all of these things that you wanted to do and you focus on immigration, and by the way, you're building a wall just through rhetoric. You're building a wall just through rhetoric. If you do those things that you said you were going to do, healthcare is going to sort itself out in some way, shape, or form. It's going to sort itself out. And that's on them, the Republicans. But right now, this is what you wanted to do. And you want to change the culture. You have to understand that there's a portion of this culture that does not want to be changed. They like politics as usual. They're here for the long term. You're just a renter. They don't want to see you change this the way that a lot of people want to see you change this. So do it in a subtle, slow way. Get your house in order. Get Kelly to do things that we think he's capable of doing. And in doing, and again, he may not be long term. He may be the short fix for something. Somebody that comes in for a year, 18 months, sorts everything out, grooms somebody to come in straight behind him that everybody can trust, puts the ship in the right direction, and then returns back to the intelligence side of things in some way, shape, or form. That may be what happens. But get your house in order and focus on the wins.
We're ending job-killing regulation. These folks know that very well. And pursuing bold tax cuts so that our companies can thrive, compete, and grow.
Tax cuts. Taxes are next up. You need to focus on tax cuts. You need to get it did. You need to focus on tax cuts and get it did. Oh, yeah, you do. You need to focus. Focus on regulations. We need to have smart, common sense regulations, not regulation after regulation after regulation after regulation that bogs the businesses and the economy down. It cures all ill. We spend a lot of our time in the economy. We go to work. Kids go then off to soccer practice or karate, or they play an instrument. We go watch movies. Everything is a bit of the economy. If people have more money in their paycheck, if they feel like they're secure and safe in their business, in their life, when it comes to finances, guess what? It's a win. It's a win. And people start to think to themselves, I don't care about the other stuff, right? I don't care about Russia or he said, she said, or did you hear about this or did you know about? They don't care. Get the house in order, focus on your wins, watch what takes place, watch how things change. Watch how the narrative on the news, no matter how hard they push it, bores everybody. They get oversaturated and they get sick and tired of hearing the same old thing each and every single day. And lo and behold, they start to realize their customers and they don't want to hear it anymore. So they take their viewership elsewhere. So it forces them to focus on something else. Jobs, jobs, jobs. You talked about it on the campaign trail. Let's get it rolling.
The jobs are coming pouring back. Factories are coming pouring back into our country.
Well, there's been some factory movement. Jobs, I don't know if they're pouring back into the country. But you know what? They're making a move. People feel confident. I always tell everybody, you know what? You can look at all the indicators in the world of finance, and there's a lot of people out there that'll talk about finance this and finance that, and their point here and point there, and the, oh, what about this indicator? Consumer confidence is huge. To me, it's the most telling thing. Because if we as consumers feel that we have enough money that we can purchase stuff, that's great. Because we then start to feel that we have enough money and enough opportunity in our life to maybe go find another job, maybe leave our job without even having another job because we know there's opportunity out there and we could take our skills and we could go do something else with it. That is big. What that forces the people to do, i.e. the news world, the real and fake news world, is start to pay attention. It's start to pay attention to what's going on. That frustrates them, angers them. Who cares? Winning cures all ills. Let me tell you something. You can look across the board, whether it be in the music industry or the television industry or the entertainment industry or the sports world, and you find that places where people struggle, losing makes everything greater and it magnifies a bad situation. But even when there's a struggle on certain teams, they continue to win because the management's good. They've got a good base, a solid base. And guess what? The little things that are big elsewhere stay little in bad situations, right? You know, it's a bad situation, but we're winning. Things are great. It's not such a big deal. It's a bad situation for that particular thing, but we'll get past that. It's not a big deal. It doesn't affect us because overall we're winning. But when you're losing, that little thing grows, and then it grows, and then it grows, and it magnifies itself to a far greater thing than it should be. So just win. It's as simple as that. Stock market's up. Just win. Talk about all those things that the Democrats talked about with President Obama. Gas prices were down. All these jobs came in. You know what? Braggadocious. Be it. Talk about the victories. Talk about the wins. Talk about the economy. Talk about the fact that immigration illegally is down big time. Talk about the victories and the wins. Stop focusing on Russia and the BS. Stop focusing on the fact that, you know what, you've had a lot of turnover, which you have, and that's some bad management. I'm looking at you right there on that. Focus on the victories, because eventually they're going to have to talk about them.
You don't hear too much from the media, but I think the media is going to actually be forced to cover it pretty soon. They're going to have no choice.
Yeah. Stick with the wins. That's it. Stick with the wins. You know, when I played soccer, we focus on the things that we needed to work on, and individually we talk about them with our managers or, you know, whatever, you know, coaches. But all the great coaches I ever played for, you know what they always did? Let's finish on a good. Let's stick with the wins. Let's talk about the things that we did. Now, we focused when we were on the practice on the things that we needed to improve on, but we never left with a sour taste in our mouth. We focused on the good. Stick with the wins. It's as simple as that. If you stick to the wins, people pay attention. And the noise goes away. Because people stop caring. They stop caring. Stick with the wins. Watch what happens. 844-DIG-CHAT, 844-344-2423. Chat at ChadBensonShow.com. You can text the program. Simple and easy. 323-538-2423. 323-538-2423. So much stuff to get to today, including an anniversary of something that changed America. That changed America. And we're going to talk about that because I think it plays a much bigger role than a lot of people thought. We're going to touch on that. We've got a lady who's homeless, but she's got a job. And we're at this point of, why would you live some places if you don't have to be homeless? Why would you stay here? What is it about certain areas where people will stay? Guess what, America? It's time to wake up. Maybe it's time to move. Chad Benson Show.
Chad Benson loves lemonade. No wonder his show is two parts tart to one part sweet. Time for a refill. Cheers.
Of course, Mooch became bigger than Trump. And haven't we seen this before? The fact that I'm using the word Mooch, using the name Mooch. Right. He was in the tabloids all weekend. He was the center of attention.
That was the worry with Bannon once upon a time.
The Mooch! Gone yesterday, as we all know. By the way, his wife filed for divorce, what, a week or two ago? She was 9 months pregnant. She gave birth to their child. He finally got to see a child, I guess, on Friday. Not a good time for the Mooch. I will say this. Look, there's an ego in the White House, as there should be. There's egos everywhere. You don't get to certain places in life without having egos. But I don't know. I don't think it was because this guy was you know, a bigger ego than Trump. It's hard to imagine right now in politics somebody with a bigger ego than Trump. And it is what it is. You know, he's gone. And people are texting me saying, why do you think Kelly's a short term? I said, look, you know, they're all of these jobs, you're on borrowed time. With Trump, it's sped up, right? With Trump, it's sped up. What might be a 2.5 to 3 year job with Trump, maybe 16 to 18 months. Kelly may be the right person to right the ship, but he's not the person that takes you long term. He gets your house in order. He sorts things out and then he puts in place the procedures and the way that we do business, and then away you go. That's the way it is. I don't think he's a long-term fix because I think he has other things he wants to do, and I think he's a, you know, I think as far as the intelligence side of things and Homeland Security and things like that, he's probably best served there. But in a time of need, this is the person that I think is going to do a hell of a job. But that's only if Trump gives him the power to do a hell of a job. And I was hard on Trump yesterday because I thought it was a bit of an embarrassment. I did. I think the way this whole thing went down was a bit of an embarrassment. It really was. That's why today I was like, focus on the wins. Let's focus on the wins. Let's talk about the good. Let's talk about the good. And there is good out there. There is. People's 401ks are healthier. Stock market is up tremendously. Gas prices are down. You're looking at regulations and taxes. Let's get to this. You've already slowed down immigration to a crawl. Why is that? Because of your rhetoric. You built a wall with sound. Use it. Use it. Focus on the wins. Behind the scenes, let's focus on the things we need to do. Let's work at getting better at stuff. Let's figure this stuff out. Let's understand that this is a political world and we want to run it like a business, but we're going to have to use politics along the way. Every business has politics in it. This is just the major league of politics. Let's work on it. Simple as that. Simple. Each and every single day, we make you hipper and cooler on the streets. And we do that. I got a lot of people say, my God, I heard that word. I like that word. My kid uses that word. We call it the urban word of the day. And it goes a little something like this.
It's time for the urban word of the day, fam.
What? Right now?
Time to get a little more hip on the streets.
I can't understand a word you're saying.
Urban word of the day.
Today's urban word of the day, and many of you out there will understand this. You will. Chain scrolling. Not chain smoking, chain scrolling. That's when you have two devices, an iPad, a tablet, your phone. Maybe you're sitting there watching TV or you're in bed and you're looking at Facebook or Instagram on one and Twitter on the other. It's chain scrolling and you have a problem. I know it's scary. I understand that. And there's places you can get help. But chain scrolling is very, very, very serious. If you need help, call 1-800-CHAIN-SCROLLER. I'm just kidding. I made that up. Chain scrolling is your urban word of the day.
Thank you for saying that in dated urban slang so that I'll understand you.
That there was the urban word of the day. We damn stretched your cranium.
We do not seek the collapse of the regime. We do not seek an accelerated reunification of the peninsula. We do not seek an excuse to send our military north of the 38th parallel.
That right there was Rex Tillerson. Who I think is doing a hell of a job and is a quiet, calming, steady influence. And I worry that all the crazy chaos will eventually force him to say, I don't want to be a part of this. But he was talking about North Korea. We're firing off yet another missile from Vandenberg. That makes four this year. Normally we do one. That makes four this year. Test. They do it once a year just to make sure all our stuff works. Let's make sure it works. Let's pull one of these things out, replace the nuclear tip with something else and kind of that's similar, and we'll see if this thing works. Why are we doing it? Simple. We want a show of force. Hey, little guy over there with bad hairdo, we will annihilate you. Understand that. We're not here to play games. We don't want there to be just one Korea at this point in time. Just deal with the fact that you need to shut your pie hole or else. Chad Benson Show.
Chad Benson Show.
Independent in thought and punk rock in life. It's the Chad Benson Show.
Moving. You always talk about, like, what are the big stresses in life? You know, loss of a child or a loved one, you know, divorce. Moving is huge, right? It's huge. But in this day and age, in the world we live in, sometimes you've got to make choices. And all too often I see, especially in the state that I'm in, where people need to start thinking about doing other things than what they're doing. For whatever reason, people decide to stay in places that they can't afford anymore. We used to move all over, but nowadays more and more people decide that they're going to stick around the areas for which they were born, even if they can't afford it. I've been fortunate enough to live all over the world. I was the first chance I had to leave the nest I took, but I've always been one of those people. And I've lived all over, and I've been very blessed. And my career has taken me to a lot of places. Again, very blessed. And I'm blessed that I can live, you know, I love California, but not the way I used to. And having gone to the Midwest and seen things, I often wonder How don't people make it? Like, if you're not making it in certain places, it's because you're not trying. If you can't afford to live in Missouri and several of these other states that are beautiful, that are incredible, if you can't afford to live in some of these states, it's because you're not trying. You're not. California, I understand. But why people stay, I don't understand. That perplexes me.
It's perplexing, I must say.
Here's the story of a woman who has a job for a very famous company, and yet at the same time decided that she's going to live her life in a little bit different way because she just can't afford some stuff, like a home.
Unique Parche's nickname is Pinky for good reason. There's the pink hair, pink car, even a pink dog. But she says things aren't always as rosy as they appear.
I tell people all the time, stop looking at what somebody got and what you see on the outside.
On the outside, Parche is a model Facebook worker who runs a nonprofit in her spare time. But the reality is she's been living out of her car since April.
Everything I do is here. This is my life, you know. This car means everything to me because it's all I have, basically.
So she's got a pink car, pink dog, and again, choices in life, choices, right? Yesterday we talked about the woman who had a child and is living on the street, and she's got a newborn. Choices, people, choices. She has a pink Mercedes that's older and it's beat up. She's got pink hair. She's got all of this stuff. Choices in life, though. She can't afford to live. She works at Facebook. I doubt they pay her $4 an hour. I'm sure she's, she's not a coder. She's not getting a $75,000 a year. But even at that point in time, Silicon Valley, $75,000, $100,000, they don't get you anything. Not there. Los Angeles, two-bedroom apartment. Minimum to afford a two-bedroom apartment is $109,000. $109,000. That's a lot of money. That is. But not in California. In California, it's like, nah, it's okay. You'll survive, maybe. I have friends and I have people I know who make $50,000, $60,000 a year, and they struggle big time. Makes you wonder. But we've lost our sense of, you know what? Things aren't going good here. I should go elsewhere. But people are afraid. We've lost that sense of adventure and fear. Has overridden everything we do now. At some point in time, you've got to say to yourself, whether it's this lady or somewhere else, I can't afford to be here anymore. My mother and I talked about this the other day. And because she's looking at the situation that she's in life and she would like to move. I said, Mom, could you afford your house today? She's like, nope. I couldn't afford the house I live in today. That's insane, isn't it? It's crazy. It really is. So why do people stay? I'm always curious about that. Here's a woman who works at Facebook, right? She works at Facebook. I doubt, again, that she's getting paid. They're not just handing her, you know, hey, here's some Facebook money and go play. No, they're probably paying her. And at the same time, she cannot afford to live in an apartment, so her and her pink dog sleep inside of a car.
Except she also has student loans and medical bills, and even with her salary, an apartment, which can run more than $2,000 a month in Silicon Valley, is just out of reach.
I'm very embarrassed because I don't want to be looked down upon or talked about.
Then move. It's as simple as that. You know, the one thing I always say about people who come here from different countries, whether they do it legally or illegally, is they take a chance to come here. They do. Now, it's gotten easier over the years to come here, and a lot of people have family and relatives that they come, friends who help them out in situations that they move here. But they take a chance because they realize where they are isn't getting it done. And we don't do that anymore. We don't do that at all. This woman could probably go and work at Walmart or at Hardee's or at DQ or any, and they could afford to live. She can have an apartment. Why are people afraid to move? Why? Why would you stay there? What is it about staying in a certain place when you can't make it? Is it a pride thing? What is it? Because I don't know about you, but if I couldn't afford to live, and homeless was my option, or move somewhere else and I could have an apartment and a life? What the hell are you doing? Move.
Parche says until now she hasn't told her coworkers at Facebook that she's homeless. It's a matter of pride.
They would be shocked that I'm going through that because they probably like, I see you smiling at work. You appear to be happy. You look normal. You look clean.
You look normal. You look clean, but you're homeless. What is it about staying in that area? I'm curious about this. Not a bad thing. I've talked to people in the past that have fallen on hard times. But why would you stay in a place that you know you can't afford to live? Why would you stay somewhere? You know what? I know you got a job at Facebook, but they're public. You're probably not getting a lot of stock. You're probably not getting a lot of options. This isn't a startup company. Why do you stay there? Well, what if my kid's there? You know, at some point in time, wouldn't it be better to get your life straightened out and on a better path? And even people that can make it. I've had numerous friends that have left California. They weren't starving, but, you know, it wasn't. They were living okay, but it was still somewhat paycheck to paycheck. They've moved elsewhere. They do nearly as good. And you know what? They're much happier. The stress is gone. But you got this lady Pinky in Silicon Valley, homeless, and I'm curious about why you would stay in an area like this. And she wants to blame the companies. Oh, the companies should know about things like this. I don't blame the companies. I'm never going to blame the companies.
I think that companies really need to look at the salaries. Are we paying these employees enough money to survive?
Tonight, Parche broke down, renting a hotel room so she can get a real night's sleep. She says she's trying to stay positive, but she desperately wants a home, and even more than that, a sense of security.
My peace of mind, my peace.
Parche's only been working at Facebook for 2 months, but already she's looking at getting a second job to help make ends meet.
So if your choice was to get a second job and work 70 hours a week so you could afford a small apartment and struggle to get by, or move somewhere else and take a chance and live pretty much like you want to live, with an apartment and some money in your bank account and life pretty good and less stressful, for whatever reason, for 70 degree winters, you're going to stay? I'm curious about the whole thing. To me, I've always been, you go for what's best for you and your family. And sometimes that's hard. But in the overall scheme of things, if I told you today, you can have a 2-bedroom apartment or a 3-bedroom apartment, it's going to cost you $4,000 a month, and you guys are going to survive, and it's going to be a struggle, but you're going to survive. And every month, though, it's going to be very tight. Or you can make nearly the same amount of money in a different area, but the weather's not great 360 days a year. It's only great 302 days a year. And the rest of the time, you've got some rain and maybe some snow in the winter. But you're going to pay $1,000 for the same apartment, and your life is going to be that much easier. You'd want to stay? I don't get it. I don't. And I think some of it's pride, especially for people in big areas and big states like California, San Francisco. It's, for whatever reason, you know, Los Angeles, New York, it's a pride thing. As if we move somewhere else that we're going to be dumbed down, and the people are, and that's part of the obnoxiousness of certain parts of America and how they feel. That, oh, by the way, this person is from the Midwest, so they're not as sharp because I live on the coast and I have an ocean that's salty and I have, you know, access to art galleries. It's crap. But I'm curious as to why anybody would stay. I don't know. I don't get it. 844-DIG-CHAT, 844-344-2423, chat@chadbensonshow.com. FBI Director Christopher Wray has been, was it 92-5 vote? So we had a new FBI director. So we had Comey, then Sally Yates, and now we've got Christopher Wray. He's going to be the new director of the FBI. And remember, when you're brought on for the FBI, it's essentially a 10-year gig, right? You know, that's what you get, 10 years, unless you're Comey and, you know, for whatever reason, you're canned. But essentially, it's a 10-year gig. So he's been brought on. He breezed through the Senate confirmation hearings. So there's a new FBI. There's a new sheriff in town, if you will, running the FBI, running the FIBI. That's the Federal Bureau of Investigation. I call it the FIBI. You can call it what you want. Chad Benson Show.
Hello, operator.
Washington Beltway insiders have nothing on us.
You may have shot 100 squirrels, but this guy got an elephant. Which one's going to feed more?
The following sequence may cause extreme emotional gratification.
I can't be that emotionally charged over what Bernie Sanders says or Donald Trump says or any. I can't. It's just I got other things going on in my life.
Ungrateful mental cases.
Get all the juiciest White House leaks here first. The Chad Benson Show.
You know, we have all these shows, you know, The Great Race and all of these crazy things. But there is something out there that's very real. And people look for it. Forrest Fenn hid his wealth. Apparently had lots of it. People want to go look for it. Treasure hunt. Every once in a while, though, somebody goes looking and they don't come back. And that's a treasure that you're not going to find.
Where rapids cascade below the Colorado Rockies, a grim discovery. An unidentified body washed downriver. Friends and family fear it's 31-year-old Eric Ashby, who moved to Colorado to find a $2 million treasure hidden somewhere in the Southwest.
So you got a guy named Eric Ashby who goes out, and he's looking for something. There's this myth that this guy had tons of gold and all of this wealth, and that, you know, he hid it back in the day. And there's a poem that supposedly give people clues. And like, look, there are people out now that go out in the ocean and they find massive amounts of treasure. They spend lots of money doing it. And you got to be well funded. But this is one of those things where the average little treasure hunter thinks, hey, I'm going to go find this thing. And they've gone out and done it. And it's a poem, again, that gives you some clues, apparently.
For the last 7 years, hundreds of thousands of adventure seekers searched for a treasure chest of gold coins and jewels. The only clues in a poem.
If you are brave and in the wood, I give you title to the gold.
It's a horrible poem, by the way. What'd you think? There was no rhyming right there, Phil? There was no rhyming?
Hey, hey, ho, ho, get your treasure and you can go.
Better. So this guy Eric goes out there and apparently disappears, and this potentially could be him. Again, all because supposedly there's millions upon millions of dollars of wealth and treasure hidden somewhere out there.
Famed art collector Forrest Fenn says he hid his wealth to inspire others to explore the great outdoors. Last year, treasure hunter Randy Bellew was found dead in New Mexico's backcountry. Then last month, the body of Pastor Paris Wallace was recovered outside Santa Fe. Authorities asked Fenn to call off the hunt.
People start to make decisions that aren't based in good sound judgment when it comes to money.
Let me ask you this, Producer Phil. Do you think he feels bad? I mean, these people are going out and looking for his wealth, and obviously they said they've asked him to call it off or his family, whatever. I find that to be weird that he hasn't said, hey, look, guys, there's nothing out there, don't. But now are you at the point, too, where you're worried because you do have wealth, and what are people going to come start suing you because their family members were Darwin Award winners and went searching for your wealth?
This is almost like, you know, Cicada 3301.
Yeah. It's great. It's crazy. People are going to go out there and start looking for wealth. And now all of a sudden, you've said you hidden your wealth. Could it be there? Could it not inspire others? People are dead. This could be the third person. And knowingly, they're looking for your wealth and they're dying. Are you sitting back there? They're going, there is nothing out there, but you guys keep doing what you're doing.
The search for gold is still on, and Fenn insists the fortune is not hidden anywhere dangerous. After all, he says, the real fortune is in the hunt.
Well, I don't think so. And if it's not hidden, and that may be true. If there's a fortune out there, it may not be hidden anywhere dangerous. I will say this, though. People are ill-prepared to be in situations where there's any kind of adversity in a lot of ways.
Chad?
Yeah.
Would you say they were out in nature?
You know what, Phil? You're absolutely right. They are in nature. And Producer Phil, remind us again what happens when you go into said nature.
Nature will mess you up.
Will mess you up. And it has messed people up. Three people dead searching for this pretend wealth. Or maybe there is wealth. I wonder how much it is. Is it like the lottery? Like, if there's $1 billion, okay, I'm getting off my ass to go find that. But if it's like, you know, 200 grand, you're like, I'm not searching for that. I can't do that. That seems just like a lot of work. And there's probably going to be shoveling and things like that. I just don't want to be involved. Australia. G'day there. You guys are in trouble because, you see, you went out there and you had all of this data for weather. And you played with the data numbers. And now people are saying, look, you've done it again. You messed it up. You took the numbers and you screwed with it. This is why people, the Australian Weather Bureau, has said that they are going back and they're redoing some of the numbers because they had some weird numbers and they took them off. And this is why people, when they talk about climate change, say, we can't trust you. We can't trust you. We can't, because you continue to mess with the data over and over again. You continue to play with the data. The numbers are fixed. You have to go back over and over again, and you have to fix things, and then things don't look right, and there's the famed hockey stick, and now you've got this. I'm sorry. This is why people who are climate change deniers, or whatever you want to call it, have trouble believing a lot of what people say when every time you go and play with the data. Don't play with the data. Let the data be true. 844-DIG-CHAD. Text the program 323-538-2423. 323-538-2423. Check out ChadBensonShow.com. Great podcast up each and every single day. Available for your listening pleasure. Chad Benson Show.
This is the Chad Benson Show.